If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the living love and divine presence of the beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, this evening, our seminar topic is how to fearlessly walk through this valley of shadows and awaken from all dark dreams. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and call yourself forward into the divine presence that lives in you and expresses through you as your best version of yourself. That part that is absolutely pure and perfect is your true identity. Nothing that the world has taught you about yourself is true. Nothing that the world has to say about you is true. The world holds absolutely nothing but what you have accorded it with your beliefs and expectations. Left alone, it is a wholly neutral thing. It does nothing that can affect or touch who we truly are. And that's the best news I can think of. So as we did in the last seminar, let's join hands with our fellow brother and sister lightworkers throughout the planet and see ourselves as a spiral that absolutely covers every inch of this earth with light, with portals of grace, with apertures for the divine spirit to host more and more expressions. And as we chant the hue, let's see the clouds of fear, mental agitation, and all dark dreams just pop like so many little black soap bubbles as the Holy Spirit completely cleanses all of us from mistaken identity and false imaginings. So if you're ready, take a deep breath. And we'll chant Hue three times. Hue. Hue. And throughout the planet, we see those dark dreams just pop, 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 like little dark soap bubbles. And they're completely dissolved in the loving grace of the beloved. We've returned all dark imaginings to truth. Why? Because we say so. And we have the anointing and authority of the living light and living word of our divine source that has said it is so. That is the power that we have as global light workers to awaken corporate humanity from dark imaginings, dark dreams. And we do it by holding the most, I would say, simple state of divine knowing. You see, when you have experienced God directly, which so many of us have, you no longer are seeking. You're a knower. You know. And it is the authority of direct experience that entitles you to the title of a knower. It's very different from operating in blind faith or operating under the experience and teachings of another person, but those that you have not yet experienced yourself. And until you've had direct experience, you're not going to be solid in your certainty and without doubt. So have you found that place of love, of peace, of joy, of strength within your own self? If you have, you are walking with God. That love, inner peace, joy, and inner strength is the presence of the Divine Spirit indwelling you. That is what you close your eyes and commune with. That is who you create specific time to be with. That is the very source of your clear sense of direction in life, of your strength and confidence, your ability to handle whatever occurs in your life, in this dimension or the dimensions beyond. You will carry that strength and that spiritual certainty and confidence beyond this world and this physical envelope of flesh. That is your core being, your authentic self. And once you tap into that, and begin to experience that and create opportunity for more ongoing experiences of that, you never again fear anything, neither life nor death nor anything beyond. You walk with God truly and even as God, as part of God. For we are made of the God, light, sound, and love. Matrix of energies that causes our individual expression to be identical to that of our source. God's presence, once deeply experienced within your innermost self, is an experience that you can never forget. You can never get enough of it. And one that causes everything in the world to sort of blur and lose its former seductive attraction. Many of you complain of having blurry eyesight. That is just because your eyes are being adjusted to see at a finer level, a much more refined sense of vision is developing. And in that process, truly, the outer world view is blurring for many, many, many of us. There are days when I walk around in the dark because the light in my head is so bright, I don't realize that the lights aren't on. And it's also my experience that when my vibration raises to a certain point, let's say I'm out eating in a restaurant and I'm just looking at the people and feeling such love for each one of them that my vibrations get higher and higher and higher. And when they get too high for this dimension, everything turns into pure white light. And then, fortunately, I'm usually with someone who can help me. Then somebody puts an ice cube in my hand so that I can track the sensation back into this dimension. Sometimes they will talk me back. And then I will drink very, very cold water or put an ice cube on my head. Yep, sometimes I have to do that. To bring sensation back into the physical world and body. If some of you are having that experience, that's what's happening. You are awakening from the corporate nightmare, this valley of shadows and dark dreams. And you're awakening in God, with God, and walking with God. It's interesting because you have the feeling that you're walking with a divine companion. At the same time, you feel and experience the presence within your heart, within your core. You actually experience the thrill of conscious communion with that presence. So one that lives in that state has often been referred to as a mystic. A mystic being one who lives immersed in the divine presence, one who delights in ongoing companionship with the divine beloved. So when you walk with God, you lose all fear. For who can fear who walks with God and only loves? So it's said that people are very afraid today. Why would they be so afraid? Well, mainly because they are attached to the world that they believe and have been indoctrinated into believing is real. And they are identified with their physical bodies. Why is that? Because they've not personally experienced God. And in many cases, even thought of the reality of a divine source. Many say that the world has become mainly atheistic in orientation and materialistic. I don't know that I believe that myself. That's not been my experience. But that is the general rhetoric that one hears. So you can search the world over, enjoy countless adventures, romances, and successes. But if you've not experienced the divine beloved, you've never really lived. You're still sound asleep in the nightmare. It takes a long time for most to realize that this world can offer nothing that is truly of value, nothing that we really want, and nothing that will ever fill and fulfill us. There's a God-sized vacuum in our life until we allow the divine spirit to enter and awaken within us. That presence lies dormant as a latent potential until it is actively sought and actively invited, because we are allowed to ego out as long as we want, to live out all of our imaginings and illusions and all of it, until we get to the point that we really call out for something greater. I've often thought of life here on Earth as aversion therapy. So ceaselessly unpleasant and noisome that you'll eventually do anything in the world to not have to return here in another incarnation. And that's probably its greatest gift to us, the pain, suffering, and disappointment, because that eventually causes each one to ask, surely this is not all there is. There must be something beyond that. and at all costs, that I must find. So these times that we're in right now are causing people and will continue to cause people to turn to God as never before. For when the grids go down, when the finances fail, when everything turns very dark before it gets better, there's going to be no place else to turn. Sai Baba has said that all but those rooted in love will be swept away into the chaos. But not a hair on the head of those who are truly rooted in devotion to the divine will be touched. That food itself will materialize in our place of worship, in our puja rooms, on our family altars. So we are in a time when we are seeing the hand of divine intervention interrupt the human community from its slumber. It's like little things happen, and then, you know, for a little while people are awake, and then they go back into the sleep pattern again. So we are being shaken in every area that can be shaken for the purpose of awakening from the global nightmare. So, you said, I said, we all said at some point that we wanted to experience God. Well, maybe not in those words. Maybe you said you want to find yourself or your purpose or self-realization. Or whatever, or just to be happy. And I would ask, well, have you experienced God? Are you experiencing God? And if not, why not? What have you invested your time and energy into that's not that? We have a little window of opportunity. Some don't have that right now. They're right up to their eyeballs in terrorism and being refugees and scrambling to survive and escape tyranny. But many of us are living very nice lives, happy. We're in the happy dream. We've exited the nightmare, and we're in the happy dream of awakening spiritually. That's a dream, too, because in highest truth, you are divine, and you've never left initial and original oneness with your divine source. So the happy dream is where you believe that you're returning home to God. But when you awaken, you'll realize you've never left the heart of God. So, That place where humanity finds themselves right now has been referred to as the Valley of Decision. And that is where the majority of humanity is. And as the darkness of the night grows more and more thick and dense and menacing, and the sheer terror of it so oppressive, Sai Baba said that very point is where many people wake up. You know, we've all had nightmares where they got so awful that we woke up. Shouting, yelling, crying, running from the whatever. We've all had those dreams. Won't it be wonderful to realize that more and more people will simply awaken from that moment of terror and realize they've just been asleep? That's what grace does. It awakens you. Not violently. The violent part is what we have brought to the neutrality of an innocent world with our mental projections, with our unhealed subconscious programs, with the many times we have personally and collectively sowed the seeds of hatred and separation and discord. We have to eat of that. It's our creation. Now, if you're in the happy dream, you can pop it like we did the soap bubbles of darkness as we started our seminar this evening. But as long as you're in the nightmare, you're still spreading the contagion. You're still a walking source of contagion, which spreads. Evil, darkness, hatred spreads like a foul virus. And only the antibiotic of living love is the remedy, personally and collectively. So, the times we are in right now are meant to wake humanity up from this dreadful nightmare of terrorism, mayhem, war, and total insanity. So there's going to be a certain clearing out, according to Sai Baba, of those who are not going to be able to progress into the next cycle of spiritual progression, which is one of living love and peace throughout the earth with no criminality whatsoever. It's a mini golden age. Some say that will last approximately 1,000 years. I don't know how many years, but that fits in with some of the scriptures. So we need to develop that relationship so solidly within ourselves that we can live in heaven now without having to die. We can live in the happy dream now, where, as it says in the scriptures, only from a distance will we witness the recompense of the wicked. Not that we wish that upon anyone. But those that have sowed evil are held accountable karmically for that sowing. So certainly we can turn on the television if we care to watch that. I don't, but if you do, you can always turn on the television and see the recompense of the wicked being visited on many, many people by themselves, not by an angry God or a wrathful God or anything like that. God is of love only. God cannot see or recognize that which is not truth. God is truth, and truth is love. So, you said you wanted to experience God or become self-realized, illumined, to awaken from the dream, to be free, fulfilled, find your true self and purpose. Excuse me. And you may have used some or none of these terms, but more than anything in the world, you want that which is beyond what this world is portraying. We are now witnessing such insanity in the media that it's become abundantly clear that you can't really heed or follow anyone who is speaking out of the terror of the nightmare. There are a few voices that are speaking through that dark cloud bank, and I believe we recognize those voices when they speak, because they speak of fellowship and joining and the common condition that we alone can choose to rectify by coming together as an international community, and doing what we can to help where we can. But each nation sharing what it has to offer into the collective pot, so to speak, into the collective need of global citizens, so that the sense of national selfishness is bypassed with a sense of caring for one another as members of the family. I don't think if we had done that to begin with, we would ever have terrorism and war. There would be no need for it, for everyone would have the wherewithal to have a happy life of food and shelter and love and caring and provision. But we didn't make that choice. It was offered to us. The Space Command, Commander Valiant Thor, and others from the Ashtar Command actually came forward and offered the ways that we could abolish poverty and disease and even death itself. But it required abolishing the financial system, the commercially driven system, the market force system, which have become lodges of iniquity, greed, and darkness. But no, the president at that time, the sitting president, said after due deliberation, no, we can't accept your proposal. We're not ready. It would destroy our financial basis of our society. And Nikola Tesla, back at the turn of the 20th century, gave over 5,000 different inventions that would have given us free energy. And so much of the warring on the planet has to do with energy. Who has it? Who controls it? And who dispenses it? So you see, it's our own fault, if you want to blame somebody. We can blame ourselves for the situation we're in right now. It didn't have to be that way. So we're in a period of time right now, that valley of decision, where every single decision we make, individually and corporately, is either to the joining of this world and the healing of this world, or its destruction. It's just that simple. We come together, or we perish together. Transformation or destruction. The choice is up to us. I do not personally believe that we will be destroyed, because the masters that I listen to have said that we will not, that we've already crossed that danger point. But we are in the crowning process of the birth, and that's always a point of danger when a child is being born. Just before the crowning is the most dangerous moment. So I don't think we can sit back and be lackadaisical about it. I think we have to live, work, and teach at our highest, absolute level. As long as we're here in the body, we have to live a life of impeccable commitment to spirit and impeccable integrity in how we live our lives. Hey, we're all flawed. We all make mistakes. But consistently getting up from that tumble that we take, eating humble pie, and going at it again is what we have to do. Nothing is perfect in this world except the divinity that dwells within you. Only God is perfect. But if you're one with God and connected to that divine perfection, then of course that's going to get out in your behavior, and it's going to have a tremendous impact on your family circle, your community, your nation, and your overall contribution to our global well-being. So, when you walk with God, you lose all fear. You know, it's said that in the Christian Bible, that more than any other exhortation, let's call it, is the statement, fear not. Fear not. 777 times, I've been told. There's a beautiful line in the 23rd Psalm you have all heard. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So what is the rod and staff of the Lord, do you know? The rod refers to the living light of God, and the staff to the living word, the divine sound current, which is the bread, the staff of life that nourishes us. This is where you get your petrol to get up and keep going for that excellence that you know is latent within you. That's where you have the empowerment to live a life of character and integrity, regardless of the rampant depravity around you. Literally, we are spiritually surcharged with divine power as we spend time each day immersed in the living light and sound currents of God. These are experiential. How? Well, those of you who are initiates of the spiritual travelers, as many of my listeners are, you know how. You devote a certain period of time every day to repeating the divine names given to you during your initiation and listening to the inner sound current, which is heard in the center of your head. You learn how to enter the 10th door behind your forehead through the third eye area and to travel through that portal into the inner kingdoms of God. That's how you go in to the kingdom of heaven now without having to die. But like Paul said, I die daily because he practiced this. And you literally die daily to the things of this world. When you go into that inner state, you lose all awareness and all sight of the world and all of its nonsense. For a blessed few hours each day. Most of us do a minimum of 2 hours each day if we're an initiate. You have literally stopped the world and gotten off the gerbil wheel. So that when you return to your physical body, you are surcharged and refreshed with divine energy and strength. And that's how you can face the daily challenges and handle whatever comes your way with confidence. This world can easily be likened to the valley of the shadow of death. That when we walk through each day relying on the rod and staff of the divine light and sound currents, that we will experience that comfort, protection, and sustenance. And thus we can walk fearlessly and fear no evil. And note that it is called the valley of the shadow of death. A shadow is something fleeting and flimsy and of no inherent truth or enduring substance. So these are thought forms that we're walking through that we call shadows. Death is the central illusion from which all illusions spring, according to Jesus in the Course in Miracles. Nothing dies. How can anything that is the eternal source of life be the author of death? It's impossible. So that is the great illusion that we'll all have the happy dream of awakening beyond, every one of us. So as you walk with the Beloved along this path of the divine light and sound currents, you gradually transcend each shadowy appearance into greater inner and outer freedom. The inner master appears to you and begins to accompany you in perfect safety through the various astral and mental and illusory realms that we have created out of our misidentification and attachment emotionally and mentally. We've created these realms. And he takes you in a, or she takes you in a bubble of protection so that you can see everything, but nothing can harm you. Nothing can touch you. And that's the value of finding a genuine, bona fide, true guru, master, who has the authority and the ability to give you a conscious experience of the divine sound current. It's very difficult to find a genuine master today. But if you're ready for that path, and it's called the kingly way, or the royal way to God, the fast track, you might say, you will be led to one who can connect you at a conscious level with what's already lying within you, dormant. So most paths lead you by the way of light. And light will take you through the psychic and material realms beneath the soul realm. But in order to go beyond the psychic and material realms of duality and polarization, you have to have the sound current. That is what takes you beyond the fields of illusion into the realms of Sat Nam, which is the first manifestation of the pure Godhead. That is the regent, let's say, the one that embodies the energy that we call the fifth kingdom or the soul realm. So you awaken beyond this shadow that you call this body and this valley of shadows which constitutes this world. And you walk into the brilliance of the divine realms beyond, which are entered through the tenth door, which is behind your forehead, in the center of your head. There you will find, sitting like a golden Buddha, your divine atomic presence, that inner master that is your true self. And there you hear the inner counsel and the divine directives that are just for you. You have your own spiritual scripture, your own Shariat Kisugmad, your own book of the way of the eternal within you. So you have awakened as the beloved, as the light and song eternal. And you know yourself as that one love that is. That is really, really worth all of your attention. And if you find yourself prioritizing sitting and watching endless nonsense on television or the revisiting of the horrors that keep taking place on the planet or ball games and things that lend nothing to you but take so much energy and time to engage in, if you're doing that instead of cultivating this inner paradise, I have to ask you, did you really want God? Or was that just a passing fancy? Because if you really want to be free, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. You must be vigilant for the things of the kingdom of God and its righteousness, to quote Jesus. There are certain things that belong to the childhood, our spiritual adolescency. But when you are a matured spirit, as I believe most of you are, who choose to listen each week, it's important that you put your mind, your body, your intention, and your behavior in line with that which you would reap, with that which you would embody, with that which you would exemplify and experience at a conscious level. And when people say they have no time to meditate, no time to do the spiritual exercises, you just realize that they have time for everything but that. And that lets you know it was just a fleeting fancy. They didn't really want God. So search your life and your where you spend your time. Where you spend your time. I know sometimes hours go by and we're sitting on Facebook or we're tweeting, or we're doing one of the other social media things. Now, I try to only tweet and only post and only have on my timeline things that are directly related to realizing God. I try to only post what will help each of us move more deeply into the realization of who we are. My tweets are only little one-liners to activate and awaken our dormant divinity. But many times I spend too much time doing that. And I think, you know what? Nobody really can imbibe the truth because they're better off spending that time not reading what I've tweeted or what I've posted, but exploring their own inner terrain of being, cultivating their own divine experience. Yes, I tweet and write out of my direct experience, but I've been on this path for decades and lifetimes. And I'm so ripe, I fell off the tree a long time ago, and I'm almost rotting if I don't get out of here pretty soon. So that's not true for everyone. And I would say that you have to gauge your appetite, your level of hunger, to know if you've got enough generated in there to keep going year after year, day after day, consistently towards what you say you want, because that's what it's going to take. You've got to be consecrated, committed, dedicated, and focused on whatever it is you want to attain, relentlessly. Have you ever been in a cave where all those stalagmites and stalagmites, I don't know if I said that right, came into existence by a relentless dripping of water? There's some caves in India that are absolutely astounding because the devotion of sages has caused the stalagmites and the stalagmites to take the form of Shiva, Shiva lingams, Devi that's coming like a bas relief out of the side of the cliff. I mean, you don't even have to use your imagination to see these divine forms that have precipitated and moved right out of the rock formation naturally through the power of focus, through the power of mantra, to the power of ancient sages sitting in those caves and meditating for goodness knows how long. That's the power of relentless devotion and focus. You can literally turn, like Sai Baba, earth into sky and sky into earth and materialize anything that comes to your mind when you have that level of consecration. But you'll never use it for yourself. Sai Baba would never lift his hand to do anything for himself. All of the things that he experienced were diseases that he took on for others who would have perished under those same diseases. I've been with him when he was poisoned, when he had a massive heart attack, a series of heart attacks, a stroke, when his whole left side of his body was paralyzed, when he's had growths and tumors and pain so horrific, and a broken hip and a bashed head and a damaged spine, all because he took on those karmas from people who called out to him for help. And in his compassion, he took it on for them. That's love. Not that I'm encouraging any of us to do that, but I'm just saying, that's the power of God's love. And Sai Baba, as a full avatar, is the full embodiment, as much as we can stand on this planet, of Almighty Father, Mother, God. So you need look no further than a God-realized man or woman to see God in human form. They behave in a human way, these avatars, so that we can develop a kinship and relationship with them and have something in our mind that we can identify as God. Because since we have a body, it's very difficult for us to conceptualize something that's formless. So that's why the avatar appears from age to age. Now there are many, many avatars on the planet, I understand. I think there's some 25 that Sai Baba is operating through. I'm just telling hearsay. I don't know this is a fact. And he himself is operating in his subtle body. He's not left the earth. He's here and doing more through his subtle body than he was able to do when he was limited by the physical body. So I'm just saying, this level of evolution, this level of manifestation is open. We can evolve like he did and move into that state of consciousness. In fact, some of us are avatars that have come down from a higher planet, realm, or dimension to serve. Because there's many different types of avatars. Some are partial, some embody a particular divine quality, or some are the intermittent sending, so to speak, of a particular ray of consciousness. But there are very few Purna or full avatars. Purna avatars would include Satya Sai Baba, Sri Ananda Moima, Rama, Krishna, and then I don't know of any others. Babaji, Yogananda's Babaji, who some say has been here since the very, very, very beginning of our planetary transformation or history, which is beyond calculation in terms of years. So, if you haven't found a path to God that works for you or that feels like it's appropriate for you, keep searching until you do. Because when you take one step to God, Sai Baba says that God takes 1,000 to you. And I have found in my experience that when you start awakening and you ask very sincerely, and it's a heart's cry, not necessarily with words, but sometimes you're, you know, your face on the bathroom floor and you're howling, that also is a heart's cry for God. There's always a response and a leading that will meet you. In fact, many ongoing events will indicate a course for you to follow. And usually, your first encounters will be souls, acquaintances, and teachers offering spiritual approaches from your past. And you may recognize these familiar faces and these gurus and these teachings that you had followed in a previous life. And some of you may even sense that you have grown beyond them. It was like that for me. But whether or not you have outgrown them, what shows up is generally meant to be considered in some way by you. So don't discount any divine encounter. We are so blessed to encounter anyone in this world who has had an experience of God. And that rarest of all people, one who loves God, one who is an absolute, genuine mystic. You can sit in the presence of a mystic who is absolutely on fire with love for the beloved. And that will set your spirit ablaze like a burning ember to a piece of paper. It'll flash. And that's the value of having satsang, of keeping company with the godly. If you keep company with the worldly, you become worldly. Don't read worldly books, stupid novels, pornography, ugly stuff, criminal things. Don't watch it. Don't think of it. You become what you keep focusing on. Do you want to be a criminal? Turn off the stupid television that has all of these endless crime shows. These endless talking heads talking absolute ego nonsense. Turn them off. Dial down the volume. Spend time with the beloved. Cultivate that divine union that will awaken you beyond this nightmare. Or not, the choice is yours. But right now, with the presence of this great, great avatar and the externalizations of the masters of the hierarchy who have not been on the planet for some, say, 98 million, a long time, okay? A long time. And they're coming out to live in the world and have their ashrams in open view. And the Lord himself, the Christ, dwelling in our midst, the world teacher. So, don't you think you have a lot of wind at your back that will catapult you beyond where you could have possibly done in any other incarnation? Sai Baba said, this incarnation, this opportunity, be aware, will not come again. If you don't use this opportunity of saving yourself, you are proving that you are too weak to grasp great things. By the way, he also said in one of his discourses that to constantly be beating the drum of Armageddon and fearful events coming upon the world is a sign of weakness. All of these YouTubes about all these dreadful things that people keep seeing happening in the world, he calls weakness. We're too weak to grasp the miraculous opportunity before us right now on this planet. So let's build up our spiritual strength by singing, chanting, meditating, praying, contemplating, and putting at least one or two of the practices, the spiritual practice, into constant and consistent operation in our daily life. It doesn't take a full matchbox of matches to start a fire. Baba said that you can take one match, one teaching, and if you practice it consistently, you will arrive at the totality. I was given one practice by Sai Baba, and it's to see the good and the divine. Period. He calls it Deva Drishti, to see only God. Only God in everything, everyone, everything, everyone. And that's what I practice. And practice, and practice. And it's a daily practice. It's a moment-by-moment choice. It's a moment-by-moment exercising of vigilance for the things of God and the kingdom of heaven. But as it says in the scripture, if there's anything good, pure, wholesome, of good report, virtuous, think you on those things. Put your energy in things that foster the divine kingdom, the golden age, which Sai Baba says is currently dawning, and will be in full blossom within many of your lifetimes. It'll be full blossom for your children and many of your grandchildren. I mean, for your grandchildren and many of your children. So hang in there. Be good, be divine, be holy. See good, think good, speak good, dwell on good, focus on good. And don't pollute your eyes and your mind with wickedness. You don't want to be wicked. So don't put your focus there. Focus on the beloved, that presence that dwells within you and manifests through you as your most perfect and divine self. So the end result of awakening from both the nightmare and the happy dream of the spiritual path, is the end result when you fully awaken as a divine being, as love itself. And then you're no longer bound to this valley of shadows. There's no longer a valley of shadows. You only see the beloved everywhere you look. You will have transcended the need to return to this dimension and world, unless you come back as an avatar. That's always a possibility. Or a master. But you'll be coming back to offer yourself in loving service to all life. And not for any personal gain or reason. And then you will be free, if you want to go beyond this earth, to serve and create as a divine co-worker in the myriads of resplendent God realms beyond this planet, this solar system, this universe, and this galaxy. It's ever unfolding creative manifestation and divine beingness. It never ends. It's ongoing. Existence, divine awareness, and ever-expanding bliss. I think that's worth all of our attention, don't you? One day you said, I want to awaken and know who I am. Have you? Do you know? Have you experienced yourself as the one beloved? So I hope this has been helpful. Let's raise our hands and give a blessing to the planet and to all beings everywhere in all the worlds. May you be happy, peaceful, healthy. May you have all of your needs met. But most of all, may you awaken and realize that you remain as God created you, in perfect innocence and peace. God bless each one of you. Namaste.